for the very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us. Tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show, Pacific Pickin' on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and yes, you might be one of the thousands of listeners that Juicebox has attracted across the globe in its almost 6 years on the air. So it's with a bittersweet taste in my mouth that I tell you tonight, listeners, that you've tuned into the last live broadcast of Juicebox Radio for now.
For now is the right way to say that, because we're hopefully, it will just be for now, because this is going to be our special goodbye for now show. And this show is dedicated to the one thing that has created the show, started the show, and is the most amazing thing, which is the creator, the lead producer, and my co-host, my dear, dear friend, Julia Saunders. And she is the original Juicebox Girl. And we've got a really special full show of all of her wonderful, juicy content. So we're going to get started on your thoughts about sexuality in general. So, Jules, tell us what you think about sexuality. What is it?
Yeah, it's when I started crafting the show for tonight, I thought I wanted to sort of touch on really broad topics and some specific topics. But some of the reasons that I created Juicebox Radio in the beginning was because I wanted a healthy sexuality across the lifespan for everyone, for all ages and stages, as you can see on my juiceboxradio.com. And that was really the foundation behind the show. So you know, often people ask me, you know, what is sexuality? I'll start my sex ed classes like that. You know, what is sexuality? Whether I'm teaching parents or any age group, I'll ask people what they think it really is. And I think for it's really, it is all of us. Mm-hmm. Even if you're someone who's asexual, it's still a sexed body. We still live in this male, female, or for those people that are transitioning or transgender, transsexuals, you know, you still have these parts that demonstrate to the world that you're a certain sex. So it's how we perform ourselves. It's our sensuality. It's something that starts in the womb, you know. I mean, we're sexual creatures from very early on. We start masturbating as soon as we can find our genitals. We, you know, start masturbating them, and boys have a much easier time of doing that.
I can imagine, since they've got the outer package as opposed to the inner.
That's right. So, and again, you know, even if you are in abstinence or choosing to not be sexual, or if you've never really been a sexual person, as far as you've not been a big masturbator, you've never been really into sex that much, you're still a sexual creature. So, you know, and it's very interesting, like, we are gendered before we're born, you know, is it a boy, is it a girl, you know, the blue, the pink, all this stuff. And it happens over our lifespan, and our relationship to sexual expression doesn't really kind of develop until our teen years, but we have these hardwired notions of what's masculine and what's feminine, and that plays out in our sexuality. It plays out in our lifespan, and it changes. And the thing about sexuality, too, is that it's something you have to remember, that sexuality is very fluid. And depending on oftentimes who our lovers are and what they inspire in us is what might affect, you know, how we are sexual, how we perform our sexuality, what our expressions become. So it's a very complex thing, and I think it's something that changes. And so people that are going through periods of real change in their life with their sexuality need to understand that it doesn't matter if you're 50 or 70 or, you know, 17. It's like, you know, this is something that is not a static thing. Our sexuality is not static.
So it constantly evolves, in other words.
Yeah, or even, I mean, evolution sort of speaks to that. It maybe builds on itself.
Okay.
And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you go backwards, you know, or what might be construed as backwards. So, you know, you might become less mature about something because, you know, or revert back to something that you might have done in your teen years because you've never been able to sort of open that Pandora's box again. So you might feel that you've regressed. But in actual fact, it's so evolution sometimes says that you're building on, but sexuality, I think more fluidity is a good word.
Okay.
Because it can change and evolve and be different all the time.
So sometimes going back to the basics.
Exactly. I mean, it depends, right? So I think, when I talk about sexuality,
it's got to be about healthy sexuality.
Yeah,
I mean, you should try and incorporate, and you've done that a lot with the show, and I think you've done a fantastic job over these years. But let's start off with, what is healthy sexuality?
Well, if I can just wrap up what I was thinking sexuality is just that it's sort of, I think, for most of us, we take this long and winding pathway that leads, hopefully, to a healthy sexuality. But there's oftentimes a lot of potholes. There's oftentimes a lot of back turns. There's a lot of alleyways that you know, we can take in the discovery process of healthy sexuality. And sometimes we can be in a very healthy place for a long time and then do unhealthy things for ourselves and go backwards and forwards. So, but you're right. I mean, I should talk about what is healthy sexuality as well in that conversation. So I thought about this long and hard because it's, you know, I mean, the subject of my book and what I'm hoping to do next in my life. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show, but the book I want to write is really about these sort of, I want to bring it down to three components. You know, what is healthy sexuality? And really, I'll address each one separately, but they come down to your mind and your attitude, so all of that, your body, and then your soul. So basically, these sort of the mind, body, and soul, I know it sounds kind of, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, but, you know, they're very complex areas, and this is sort of just the way that I'm kind of trying to roll it into what I consider to be all very important aspects that you have to keep in mind when you're developing your healthy sexuality. And around the mind and attitude, obviously, there's the knowledge of your body and how it works. you know, do you know that up till you're 25 you need to do testicular exams, that there's testicular, you know, cancer is very high in that age group. Most young boys have no idea.
I had no idea.
You know, like, you have to do prostate exams. You have to examine your prostate as a male growing up. You know, as you get older, female, same thing. You know, just what is your vagina like? What's normal for you? What are your breasts like normally? You know, what is an, you know, what's your pattern of menstruation? You know, all these things that we have tend to never have any idea about. I mean, I talk to women that are in their 30s and, you know, 40s, and they don't really know why their periods, what cycle they're under, and those kind of things. So I think to be healthy in mind, you need to have knowledge of. But really an important part is you also have to have love of your body, so acceptance of your body.
So throwing out the shame and blame cycle, in other words, and going for acceptance, maybe?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Vagina Monologues, for example, speaks so much about, you know, getting the mat, spending time on the mat and getting the mirror out and examining your vulva and looking at your vagina as much as you can, maybe with the duck bills or whatever, the what do you call those darn
the
things?
Duck lips?
The duck lips, I know. Like, what's the real word for that? We'll come up with that in a minute. But acceptance of all parts of your body. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, you know, and this is going to be a very hot topic, but for, I think, a lot of transsexuals, it's like if you can learn to accept your genitals, for example, your gender may feel male and you are a female, but if you can accept that your genitals are your genitals and you can perform your gender in whatever way that you so choose. But I think this is, you know, an aspect in trans people that is a new wave for them, that they're starting to see that genital surgery is really not a good option in a lot of ways. And a lot of, you know, most surgeries aren't very helpful or useful, and they end up making more problems than they were trying to solve. So acceptance of, you know, you don't have to have a penis to be a male, you know, kind of thing. So it goes as far as that, right? But it's also knowledge of and acceptance of your body, whatever it might be. I think that's a very important part of healthy sexuality. And being open to learning about yourself.
Okay.
In new ways. So this is part of the mind and attitude that I'm talking about.
I was
about.
Just going to ask if it was that, and also the backward turns and the potholes that you'd mentioned earlier when you're exploring your sexuality.
Yeah, and I think being open to discovering. We get into these habits, you know, and really a lot of our, you know, our wonderful guests over the years, Caroline, have talked about engaging that sense of the erotic in every day, and that we're very sensual creatures, all of us, you know. So we're always looking for satiation in food and satiation in other aspects. A lot of us become sex addicted because we're sort of looking for that pleasure button, always trying to satiate. That's a natural human response. But, you know, to understand that our sensuality, our sexuality are very intermingled. And if your parts aren't working very well because you maybe are, you know, not well, or you have a, you know, you've had cancer, or you're in some kind of treatment, or you're just recovering from some kind of surgery, or perhaps you have erectile dysfunction or whatever might be happening to certain
or
body parts.
Psychological issues based on experience.
That you can have a sensuous experience still and a sense of the erotic. And I could name a couple of our past guests that have spoke about this, even Bab Shula just the other day. So,
and even Dr. Trina Reed last week.
Right.
And actually, I just got a text actually saying that the duck lips are called the speculum.
Oh, thank you, the speculum. Thank you, listeners. I appreciate you responding. And I think, again, on the mind and attitude about healthy sexuality is celebrating your sexuality and allowing other people to celebrate theirs. So this is a whole political conversation that we could talk about, but we'll move on. So, and I think if you can't celebrate your sexuality, if you can't accept yourself, that you get the help that you need to get the therapy that you need, don't just struggle with it. Don't just sit with it and think that there's no hope for you, or, you know, wallow in your misery. You know, suffering is an option. This is something that I think humans don't tend to really understand, is that our suffering is totally optional. And yet so many of us live in that on a day-to-day basis. So things happen, shit happens, suffering is optional. Anyway, that's a little tidbit there for you. And yeah, communication. And you and I have talked endlessly about communication, how critical that is. So when I'm talking about the mind and attitude around healthy sexuality, communication, I mean, we can't say it enough.
communication and support system, having really good support, whether it be with your doctor, which that was the next part I wanted to ask about, if we can move into body. What are some things that we should be asking our doctors about? And just keeping track of, what are some of your tips?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on age as well, and age and stage of your life.
Age and stage, I like that, Ms. Julia.
You know, I mean, if you're pregnant and having, you know, a baby, that's a different stage than if you're, you know, 40 and just starting to experience erectile dysfunction, or
menopause.
If you're going through menopause, or if you're in puberty and, you know, you seem to be really early in puberty or really late, you know, like so many girls these days are eight and they're getting their periods. So,
Except
you know,
we know quite well.
It depends on where you are in your life. But I think a really powerful part is to know what's normal for you, what's healthy, what's normal. And if something changes, that you go to your doctor and you talk about them. And if your doctor gets weird, there's this really great won'tgetweird.com where you can find a doctor who won't get weird about...
Really?
Yeah, Options for Sexual Health is it.
Okay.
A very powerful program, and they have huge lists of doctors that you can go to and talk to about your sexual health. And they're not going to get weird when you ask questions about things. So, yeah, a broad topic. Around the body and healthy sexuality, I think, you know, it's so critical that you use contraceptive control. Unless you want to have a baby. And then you need to clearly communicate that to your opposite sex partner before you start making out, before you start getting all heated, because our irrational minds turn off and oxytocin takes over. And before you know it, you're knocked up. So I think using contraceptive control is really important.
I agree with that one.
And protection, you know, every time.
For STIs.
For
definitely.
STIs with a new partner. And I can tell you something, listeners, no matter what, even if it seems very, you know, unintimate or breaking the mood or whatever, it isn't. There's so many great websites out there that give you a lot of answers to these kind of questions that come up between couples around, oh, I don't want to use it because of this or that. No matter what, for 3 months, until you've both been checked, until you know that you can trust them to keep you safe, and if you have STIs, that you treat them, and that you tell other people that you have them before you engage. So if you have herpes, if you have HIV. So, you know, and every time may seem unreasonable to some people, but honestly, this is the only way that you're going to have a healthy sexuality over your lifetime. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about that, too.
Definitely. It's very important to be ethical and true to yourself. And sex ed, hey?
Yeah, and sex ed, we're going to talk about in the second half of the show a lot about sex ed and how critical that is for everybody and around healthy sexuality. But let me just sort of speak briefly, if I may, about an area that's very close to my heart that I haven't even had a lot of courage to explore. And that's in the healthy sexuality around your soul and around nurturing yourself and your spirituality. So Tantra is a pathway, for example, to finding God, if you want to use that word or not, in your sexuality, because our sexuality is our closest pathway to our spirituality and our sensuality. So I think, you know, when I talk about having a healthy sexual soul, I think nurturing yourself through things like masturbation, real deep self-love and compassion and loving kindness for yourself is an absolutely critical aspect of healthy sexuality that so many of us do not even begin to address and to explore. So we end up being in relationships with other people because we feel like we can't quite get you know, fulfilled in our own selves, and so we seek it.
We look for that into other people.
And you know, I don't think it's really the way to go. I think you need to understand yourself and go deeply into loving yourself before you can truly bring all of yourself to your sexuality with another person. But none of us tend to, like, so few of us, I'm sorry, tend to do that. So around, you said the shame blame game. I think the soul, nurturing the soul, is taking that shame, exploring that shame. Why do you have that shame? You know, Sex Detox by Dr. Kerner is a good example. There's so many great books out there to help you experiment, to help you leap in and
forgive yourself.
Yeah, and forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that my company, my new company that I started a year ago called Sex, Love, Intelligence, you can find out more about it on sexloveintelligence.com, is coming from this concept of the body-mind-soul connection to our sexuality. And I, again, I mentioned my first book probably will address this in depth and how you can develop yourself or heal yourself in these capacities around healthy sexuality. So that's what it is in a nutshell.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
And I have a lot of work to do myself because I certainly am not 100% healthy. None of us, I think, are. So it's an ongoing journey.
I agree. We're definitely works in progress all the time. And yeah. In regards to that, let's go back to something you mentioned in terms of soul. Masturbation, that's mm-hmm. something that sometimes has a lot of shame and blame attached to it. So mm-hmm. talk about that a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and thank goodness it's become something that we can talk about in the schools now, because their research is saying that, you know, the more that a child masturbates and then explores their own sexuality, the less that they're going to be engaging with others because they're getting that satiation, you know.
Satisfaction.
The satisfaction. That is a natural part of puberty and exploration of our sexuality, and it starts very young. For some of us, it starts when we're two or younger, you know. I mean, it sort of depends. Anyway, we have this very simple, basic physical response in our body that the nerves are just as developed as they are on the tip of our nose, in our clitoris and in our penises. And so as little children, as we discover these things, we're going to play with them because they feel good. Mm. But we're usually shut down, and that's where the shame begins. And so, again, we'll talk about sex ed in the second half of the show, but as parents, this is so important that we take the shame out and stop that cycle of shame in your family system, because your parents may have done it to you, but you have a choice whether you do that to your children. So, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of us learn about our sexuality in shame and clothed in secrecy, unless, of course, our parents have received the proper schooling about this sort of thing and counseling, or have had somehow found themselves in a place of having a healthy attitude that they can then pass on. You know, I really think that Meg Hickling has got a fabulous, very basic book on how to teach your children how to be healthy and have boundaries and explore your sexuality in a healthy way. And it's such a simple little book, and they work really well. So that's my personal recommendation. But, you know, around masturbation, it has a huge effect on our sexuality, because the more that you can learn what you like, and the earlier you can learn that in life, the more possibilities that you will have endlessly with lovers and with yourself or whatever. If you can't figure out what you like, how is your lover supposed to figure out what you like? So it's a foundational exploration for your body and for yourself and for your body, mind, soul with your sexuality. And I mean, I think I even shared with listeners over the years that I've never been a good masturbator, you know? And, you know, I've had to really figure that out. And in the last couple of years, I've thought, well, I got to start to practice what I preach. And it's been really amazing for me to learn. I still have so much more to do. But I can say for sure that this will change your sexuality enormously if you're not a masturbator, to pick it up. And hopefully our next generations will have a healthier sexuality. So
let's hope so. There's a lot of damage in the past. But
I think we have a show on October 1st, a show, I think it's number 191, called The Mastery of Masturbation. So if you want to hear more about that topic, there, definitely go to the website and tune into number 191. I think it's a pretty, you know, thorough exploration of what we're talking about here.
Well, before we go on our break, do you want to give us some juicy tidbits about vibrators? I know
you
just got those presents, which I haven't tried out yet.
Yes, I love this vibrator. But you know what? It's really just a typical 20 styles of vibration, like with different you know, strengths and weakness, but also just the different patterns of vibration. And I think if you're going to use a vibrator, I used to always say to my listeners, you know, no more than once a month use the vibrator. But if you're using one that's gentle and has these different patterns, they're not just like a solid vibration where your nerve systems don't have a chance to kind of refill with blood in between. So, you know, sometimes the patterns that go up and all the way down again, or stop for a second and come back again, they give your nerves like a chance to refill with blood and not be so damaged that you become numbed. So eventually those nerves do get damaged over time. So if you're a vibrator user constantly, you will find that you can't get off any other way. Mm-hmm. Well, no human could ever try to do what you're doing with this power tool. So just keep it in mind that, you know, you use them not too consistently. Try to you know, keep it down to maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, hopefully, or something.
Use fingers once in a while.
Yeah, practice with your fingers, really develop them. And I think to the young people I'm speaking to out there, very important that you begin your masturbation journey with your hands and not other tools and weird things like vegetables and brush handles and other things.
Toothbrushes that, with the bristle in.
Sure, you know, your automatic toothbrush, whatever. All of these things, I think I really have to recommend as a sex educator that you start with your hands, use lube or spit if you don't have lube around.
Not
and
glue.
Start gently. Start gently and go hard as you get on with the day. I think those are sort of the tips that I might want to.
I think those are really good tips. Yeah. May I add one more thing in terms of the tinge?
This is the vibrator we got.
Even though I haven't tried it yet, I think it's a really good way if your partner needs to be trimmed down below, because it does actually have the additional razor that you could add on to that, which I thought was very fascinating.
Yes.
I thought that
it's the whole marketing with the tinge is that it looks like a razor, changeable razor, and it hangs on a hook, and so nobody would assume that it was a vibrator in any way. And there's a special way to turn it on, which is a bit complex, so it prevents people from probably figuring out how to use it.
Yes, but people like me who are child-proofed.
Anyway, and one of the things I think just before we go to the break is that porn, there's this whole thing on porn. I have so many opinions and thoughts on pornography. I could make a whole other show about that.
We'll have to have you on.
Yes, I guess in your new show we'll talk about that soon too. Pornography is a tumultuous place to discuss about our sexuality, but I think there's some really powerful learning there.
I agree.
And I think that there's lots of great fun to be had. There's just the politics and the objectification that can be problematic. But again, that's a whole other show. So let's take a short break, and I can't believe it's already half over.
No.
Our final show. Keep that dial locked with more of What Julia Says. And we welcome your calls, so call in at 604-822-2487. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
This is for you.
Oh, God.
I wanna feel you from the inside. No question, the most insidious virus in the midst of this illegal downloading of music is piracy on the net.
On Sunday, March 8th, Doxa hosts a special preview screening of the documentary R.I.P. R.I.P., a remix manifesto, is an edgy exploration of copyright's law's effect on the future of art and our daily activities in a world where watching YouTube and downloading music is the norm.
R.I.P. follows Girl Talk, a hip-hop DJ acknowledged by many as a lawsuit waiting to happen due to his famous mashups. The film asks us to consider a balance between artistic inspiration, sharing within a community, and copyright protection. Director Brett Gaylor will be in attendance via Skype.
R.I.P. is being shown at the Van City Theatre, 1181 Seymour Street, on Sunday, March 8th. Doors at 6:15, show at 7. Tickets on sale now at www.doxafestival.ca. R.I.P., a seriously entertaining and groundbreaking documentary.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box, and that was Closer by Nine Inch Nails, which, since we were talking about masturbation and all about Tantra and getting closer to God and all that stuff and the goddess, I thought it was appropriate. I was looking for your song, but I just couldn't find a non-live version of it.
Sorry. It's okay. Thanks, honey. I'm glad you picked that one. It is a good song to have sex to. It's very hot, that's for sure.
It can be.
So?
So,
what's next?
Well, I guess we should talk about sex ed, because you've talked about it and you mentioned this phrase, which I really liked, sex ed for all ages and all stages. So, mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a bit about that? That'd be a great name for your book.
Yeah, yes, it probably will be the name for my book. You know, I think it's, I think that something that we need to grasp,
okay,
is that it's never too late and it's never too early, really, to start educating yourself or the people in your life around sexuality, because we're all sex educators. I mean, our parents, as parents, obviously we are, whether you like to admit it or not, whether you want to think about it or not, or whether you'd rather deny it completely, it is a fact that you are teaching your children by modeling about their sexuality, everything from diaper change to everything else, you know, so our parents have taught us the foundation that we carry today. So oftentimes we may feel burdened, you know, if you look back, like for example, the Sex Detox book, for example, will go you help you go deeply into where it is that you learned about sexuality. So not to repeat the same mistakes on the next generation is one thing, but to heal yourself, figure out what's going on for you. I think for teens, I have to tell you, young people out there, please get the information you need before you need it.
Yes.
So don't just follow your instincts on this, because unfortunately, your instincts are often wrong when you're young. Your instincts are coming from a reptilian brain that, you know, is our basic fight or flight, you know, our amygdala or whatever, and not being filtered through all of the, you know, education and information that takes sometimes a lifetime to build, but get the info you need before you need it. Oxytocin and serotonin and other adrenal chemicals that pretty much whack you out of reality are flooding through your system when you're in puberty and when we're in sexuality, when we're having sex with people. It's really hard to make any grounded decisions for yourself, ones that you're not going to regret later, because it's like morphine. It's like opium, you know, having oxytocin, serotonin, all these other adrenal chemicals. It's like a drug, and that's what's so addictive about sexuality for so many of us. And it's hard to be rational when you're flooded with chemistry like that, you know? We've got a very loud person in the hallway. So for all of us, I think you need to remember that planning ahead and getting the information you need before you start engaging in something sexual is going to do nothing but good for you. So I try to liken it to, like, you wouldn't imagine getting behind the wheel of a car before you learn about how it works, you know, what it is that you need to learn how to drive that thing and to build your skills before you actually get behind the wheel of a car. So our sexuality, if you can think of it like that, I think would be helpful.
Definitely, so don't hit trees.
Yes. So, you know, and I did talk about parents and educators and Meg Hickling and teaching body science like you would with fingers and toes. What's the shame in teaching about other body parts? It's just a very interesting exploration I often talk to with parents.
What is the shame?
Well, it's been taught from the past generation, so we already feel it in ourselves. So then when we talk to our children, we're like, oh, that's dirty and that's private and that's et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So healing yourself of that by reading the books like Meg Hickling's, and she has the fabulous videos, for example, telling parents how to sort of broach these subjects for yourself, healing mm-hmm. yourself before you start to teach others your discomforts, you know, and try to be as neutral as possible about a subject that's anything but neutral. I mean, you know, I encourage teachers in teacher training. I talk to parents, and it's like, this is not a neutral subject. But when you're teaching young people about body science and about how to sort of be open to their sexuality and their exploration, you have to try to be neutral. So whatever it takes to get there, you have to try to deliver these facts value-free, and that's a really big challenge for anyone. But there are great resources out there, and you know, like Our Whole Lives, for example, that series of books are really great. And TeachingSexualHealth.ca is a decent curriculum for, you know, for grade six, etc. Anyway, for all ages, I think I want to speak a little bit about what I think is really missing in society, and that is our emotional intelligence. I think that we're taught social intelligence, we're taught math, you know, science, reading intelligence. But our emotional intelligence, who teaches us the heart in our lives? Who teaches us how to, you know, to feel that we belong, to deal with our personal, personal emotional upheavals, how to feel our personal power, how to feel agency in the world, how to build our self-esteem, you know, where to deliver or where to experience and generate generosity and virtue. These things aren't taught in school, you know, in not many schools I know, maybe some of the private schools. And our parents themselves haven't been emotionally intelligent. Most people are not taught to be emotionally intelligent. So we need desperately, I think, to start there. How do you deal with your reactions, your jealousy, your possessiveness, your anger? Who teaches us how to deal with these things, right? So again, there's such fabulous resources out there now for this kind of thing. But if you don't even know about it, if you don't even know that you've got this emotional immaturity, you know, I mean, I can't even tell you, Caroline, that's one of the reasons I'm still single, is because I can't seem to find someone who isn't completely and totally emotionally immature. As wonderful as they are, as much incredible potential they haven't learned how to deal with their reactions, to deal with their feelings, and be rational in times when they're really upset or they're in pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they haven't learned how to deal with these things or build their emotional intelligence. So children, of course, are, you know, it's so easy to teach them, way easier than it is to get into us when we're adults. I think I saw this incredible talk at the Challenge and Change Conference, the BC Alternative Education Conference in January. Oh. There's our fire alarm, interestingly enough.
That's a hot topic.
Talk about a podcast that has to end, and very bluntly. Sadly, I'm going to just say that reclaiming.com is a place you can go to. Dr. Martin Brokenleg speaks a lot about that. Another important thing is rites of passage, and David Hatfield we had on the show, number 192. He talked a lot about rites of passage. I think that's critical, and this is something we need to bring back into mainstream society. Again, this is about learning about your personal power, your independence, your significance in life, how capable you are of things, how important it is that you learn that you can master stuff. So what else can I wrap up in 2 seconds because of the fire alarm?
unless we want to keep going, it's up to you, my love.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if you can hear it over online, but you know, technically, we should really be leaving.
I suppose we should be leaving.
I think before I was going to talk about what's next for me,
I think we should
bring me back and talk about that another time, I suppose.
So. Oh, I don't think you should keep them in suspense. I think we should tell them really, really quickly. We've got in the next 30 seconds.
All right. Well, the building's not going to light on fire.
Hopefully not. We've got somebody else we need to take care of these days.
Right. What's next for me? Yes, motherhood. So I think there's a lot of people don't know, but I'm pregnant, and I'm almost, I'm over 8 months. So, can you shut the door? Do you mind shutting the door, Val, for us? Can you shut that door for us? I appreciate that.
It helps.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
So we're talking about
We're not going to have imminent death anytime soon. I think we can spend the next 5 minutes wrapping the show. So
I agree.
So motherhood, yes. Let's return to the conversation about using protection every time.
Do you want to get into those details?
Well, you know, this is something that I've been feeling a lot of kind of embarrassment about because I'm the sex educator who has an unplanned pregnancy, and I'm, you know, over 8 months pregnant now, and part of why we're closing the show is because it's time for this new chapter of being a mother, and I have to say that I was using fertility awareness, and I think that it can work for most, but I'm also 39 years old, and I ovulate a lot. So, you know, you can experience good success with fertility awareness and using condoms, etc., but just not for everyone, and to be prepared to get pregnant, sometimes it happens. So that's what happened to me. And I think, you know, I think one of the things that's been so profound for me in the last 8 months is based on Dr. Mia Califf's The Secret Life of Babies. And she came on the show in July, right at the same, around 2 weeks before I got pregnant. And the show is number 181. And it was her interview and her book called The Secret Life of Babies. And it's had a very profound influence on how it is that I've been in the last 8 months around working very hard to heal myself. Before I got pregnant, and now on continuing my healing and forgiving of myself and compassion, and to ensure that I maintain levels of oxytocin in my body, happy chemicals, have people hold me, nurturing my body, my mind, and my soul while I'm pregnant, so that the little baby will have her best start. And yes, I'm having a little girl. Her name will be Elizabeth. So I want her brain to develop in comfort and safety. And if you have this stressed out pregnancy, your brain is going to develop into expecting a stressed environment. That's normal. So wanting to continue to find stress in your life because that's what feels normal. So many of us live our lives like this. And if you read her book, you'll find out some information about that. And so I think... part of me has been spending time with people who nurture me and respect me and celebrate me and help to create comfort in my life. And I think this is very important for anyone who's pregnant right now to make sure that they do this with their healthy sexuality and that it's very critical. So I recommend you talk to or go see Dr. Mia Califf or see, at least give the show a listen. It might explain some of your baseline reactivity in your life, and talking about emotional intelligence, some of your patterns that affect your relationships and, of course, your sexuality. So
what else is next for you, miss?
Well, I think returning to the talk of intimacy building in Tantra, I think where sex and spirit meet is a really powerful show. May 7th and 21st, I had Robert Allen and Lasara Firefox on. 174 is the number, and specifically 175. Around intimacy and Tantra. So those are some things that I need to do personally. Being single, and I'm building a co-parenting situation with the father of my baby over time, I think it's a pioneering path. And I've, like so many other aspects of my life, I'm a pioneer. And being a pioneer can be lonely. And I'm hoping that perhaps I can make a difference in others' lives through the journey that I'm embarking on, and through the book that I hope to write about helping people live in a place of body, mind, and soul health and their sexuality and parenting. And I think to parent or not to parent is an important show to kind of think about there. So my concluding message for now, I think I really want to say to realize people and respect that healthy sexuality, body, mind, and soul can be a lifetime journey. And for most of us, it is. So to have compassion for yourself and for others, and to be patient. But it's important also to keep exploring, you know, to keep asking questions and to keep being courageous, you know, but be careful. So if there's one area of life where recklessness, doesn't pay off, and I promise you it never will. It's in the realm of sexuality and relationships. So tread carefully, tread gently, and when the time and the place is right, be passionate and to surrender yourself to your chosen situation and to let go, to really let go in your life and enjoy.
Thank you, Julia.
Yeah, so to not to start to cry, but I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, listeners, dear listeners, and I hope you enjoyed the dedication that I and my various co-hosts have given to you over this past almost 6 years. It's been an honor to serve you. I hope that we have helped educate and entertain you in the realm of sexuality and relationships, or at least have given you food for thought or a giggle or two. But I really wanted especially to thank you, Caroline. You've not only been my favorite co-host and co-producer by far, but a very talented writer and an on-air personality that I think has worked tirelessly on this show for over 2 years. But from my heart, one of my dearest friends who I've gotten to know in a whole new way sharing this weekly sex and relationship talk show with you. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, darling.
Thank you.
I wish you well with your next show, Sexy in Van City. I think you certainly have a plum listenership that we've developed together to follow your new show. And you do a really good job of marketing, much better than I ever have. So they'll find out all about that because we're supposed to be out of here. The fire alarm is going like crazy. So you'll find out next week, listeners, about Caroline and what she has in store for you. But I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you very much. And it's been great to be of service.
And it's been a real wonder working with you, miss.
Thanks.
It really has. And I can't wait to meet little Ellie, who's in your belly right now.
Ellie in my belly.
Ellie in your belly, who likes to jump around after Julia's eaten right before the show and get to sing to her, thanks to Mia's Secret Lives of Babies.
Yes.
I think she actually hears me.
I'm sure she does, Auntie Caroline. So I think next up will be probably Hans von Klose's Mystery Hour. I'm sure he'll be coming up soon, another 10 minutes or so if he can get in the building.
He's a very sexy man to be miserable
with. And I'll be sorry to not say goodbye to him.
Or his shoes.
Mm-hmm. But thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio, and we're signing off for now and maybe forever. But bless you all out there.
And if anybody has any show ideas or anything like that, you can get a hold of me. I don't have an email address yet, but at sexyinvancity.com, which you'll find out more about that. There's some interesting things on that site right now.
Yeah, and you know, I do intend to keep juiceboxradio.com running. I intend to blog. I mean, I spend 10 hours a week on this show. So I've got at least a chunk of time that I can dedicate to writing some opinions and keeping juiceboxradio.com at least somewhat lively, referring to 206 shows that I've done in the past that I'm sure some of them are still very valid and very helpful. So,
and very entertaining and wonderful.
Yeah.
Great information.
Part of why I wanted to mention some of them tonight on the air is just because there's a whole huge realm of sexuality that sometimes I'm like the mastery of masturbation. You got to kind of just listen to the full hour. So don't know what she's doing in there, but just, yeah. Anyway, I think we're tuning off. So
I'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock, Sexy in Van City. So you have to stay tuned to find out what that is.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Any last words?
No. I start crying. Get
you sure about
there.
All right. Listeners, if you're listening, stay tuned for next week. And as well as that,
you just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.
cold.